Welcome, True Believers, to another fantastic, amazingly average show. I am joined this week by Scotty.
Hello.
And since I get to do introductions this week, we're going back to Dan the Third.
Okay. Hey, I'm the
Da
third Dan.
dun dun
For
dun
some reason.
da dun. For some reason on this show it doesn't make sense, but tradition and all that other jazz. So,
Sure.
anyhow. We have a fantastic show in store for you, but we're going to kick it off as always with our little faithful segment. We are going to talk about catching them all. We're going to talk about Pokemon, but we're not going to talk about Pokemon generations or favorite Pokemon. We're going to talk about favorite Pokemon type, partially because I want to hear this rant that Scott has ready for us.
Okay, ghost types. That's obviously my favorite, as I just said ghost type to start off the sentence. As a kid, one of my favorite Pokemon was Haunter. Not Gengar. Not until I got older and grew to respect Gengar. But Haunter was always my favorite.
Because of the
And
anime or the game?
it was a bit of both, and I also like the character, like the design,
The
like
hands?
the
Yeah.
severed the separate hands and how he's always
Yes.
floating. Gengar was always just like a blob with legs that I
I
never
was.
really understood.
It's an odd family of evolutions because you start off with Haunter, who is just kind of like a ghost, like a traditional ghost with just like the things coming out. Then you get to Haunter, who has the hands, but he has a more physical form. And then Gengar's like just this blob, and I'm like, okay, so it's an actual ghost that has solidified now. I guess
Yeah.
a spirit.
But I've always liked ghost types, mostly because one of the ghost types' real only weaknesses is ghost type. So unless it has a secondary type, then it has those weaknesses. But for the most part, it's hard to fight a ghost type. Or at least in the early games, the early generations. Ghastly Haunter, Gengar were ghost and poison type, but then you had like Mischievous, you had Duskull, you had these Pokemon that were just ghost types, and it was, they're very interesting. And whenever I play, I always build ghost teams because I'm one of those weirdos who does that. But I always pick the best ghosts that I can. And I also like ghost types because of Spiritomb. Back in the day, Spiritomb had no weaknesses until the fairy type was introduced. So Spiritomb could not be super affected by anything.
We'll go with that. I don't think that's how you.
I looked it up. Bulbapedia, super affected is a word.
Okay.
I didn't look it up, but I made it up.
Right.
But Spiritomb, I made it so that my Spiritomb had Pain Split. I did all that breeding mumbo jumbo BS and got it so it knows Pain Split. And since it didn't have any weaknesses and it knew Pain Split, it was almost impossible to kill. And that's what I had ghosts that were like impossible to kill because their special defense and defense was amazing. I would do tag teams when I'd have my Miss Magius use Destiny Bond. No, not Destiny Bond, Perish Song, and then I'd have my other ghost type use Mean Luck and keep all the enemies in the game, and then I'd make my entire party faint and their party, and it'd be awesome. So yeah, they're just really cool, and they're all ghostly, and that's also cool.
I would say the interesting thing with ghost Pokemon, I guess somewhat, is they also tend to have the most horrible backstories.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there's a new ghost type in Sun and Moon, who I believe, or is it maybe it's one of the older games, whose story is like it kidnaps kids by pretending to be a balloon.
Yeah, there's a balloon one. That was from
Oh,
Gen 4.
Driflim.
Yeah.
Yep, it kidnaps kids.
Well, the new one, there's a new one where it pretends to be Pikachu and scares little kids by pretending to be Pikachu and being cute. And then there's another one that's a sandcastle that in all the art is always like eating other Pokemon, like killing them. So they've definitely like gone darker on like some, in some ways with that, especially with the, when it comes to the ghost ones.
And I think they get away with it because I don't honestly think most people read those things. So like kids aren't paying attention to it, but they've always had such horrible stories. Even going back to like Gassy and them, they had, I remember they had a horrible episode in the anime.
Oh yeah, and it's like, yeah, these things were once alive and then they were like murdered. Now they're just laughing at you and licking you.
Yeah.
I never understood why that was a ghost type move, lick. Never even understood why that was a move at all or why it paralyzed you.
I mean, out of the Pokemon, I've just learned to go with it after a while. Like, some of the types I also don't, like, some of the type advantages I never really got. Like, I understand why electricity is strong against water, but I don't necessarily get why water isn't strong against electricity. Because they would have the same reaction.
Theoretically. I get why water is not very effective against electricity, because it doesn't really do anything.
Well, I mean, no, because I mean, it's the same thing. If you put electricity in water, it shocks you. If you put water on electricity, it shocks you. I mean, it's the same kind of result.
But the electric ones can't be shocked, right? Because
I guess
they're made of electricity.
But I would imagine it would short it out.
I mean,
but
I didn't really think
why
about
doesn't
that.
Why doesn't psychic affect dark type?
Well, because dark was made to counterbalance it. I mean, that's the game mechanics answer. I don't know.
That's true.
I would imagine it's probably, maybe it's because like if you're so dark, it doesn't work on you. Like, you know, like how certain things are, you're immune to. Like if you have a messed up psyche, like what is it going to do against you?
You know what? Also, I found a little weird. Oh, it makes perfect sense. The normal type doesn't affect the ghost type, or vice versa.
Yeah.
I thought ghost could affect normal type.
No, ghost type moves cannot affect normal type Pokemon. It's weird.
Yeah, I think I like that. I don't know, I guess I'm more on the game mechanic side, and I don't really worry too much about like the like reasons for things, but I like it as a game mechanic, because a lot of Pokemon, normal is pretty bad in a lot of ways. So having at least some advantage is nice.
One I don't get, and maybe I don't know, I don't get it, I guess on a logistical standpoint, is dragons being weak to fairy.
Well,
that was definitely a game mechanic.
Yeah.
They definitely added that because dragons were ridiculously overpowered because they were only weak. Only things that were super effective against dragons were ice and dragon, and then basically everything else barely affected it.
And ice was their addition as well.
No, ice was in the original.
No, ice type was in the original game.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times, like, I think some of the coding for the move sets and what Pokemon they affect was a little different in the original games, but basically, yeah, like ice was super effective against the only three dragons in the game.
Yeah.
So,
and it was actually double. It was four times because, I mean, this is, yeah, like,
yeah,
because
Dragonite also was flying type.
Yeah, why Ice Beam was so overpowered.
Well, yeah, you get one of those, and you hit a Dragonite with that, and it's out.
Game over, man. Game over. Yeah. So, real quick, Dan, what is your favorite type?
Yeah, real quick. My favorite is Dark type because of purely game mechanics-wise, and also just, I think my favorite gen is, or games are the Black and White games. And so... For some reason, a lot of those Pokemon have dark type. So there's like this cool crocodile, and there's a
Is it the
cool crocodile?
Yeah.
No, is it the one who evolves who actually wears sunglasses, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Yeah, that one.
Is it dark, like dark and ground, or is that one dark and water?
Dark and ground, which is a really good type mix. Like, the way I play Pokemon is very much traditional. Like, I always use the bird, the local bird. I never try to have a crossover in terms of typing, and I always try to have Pokemon with more than one type. So I always try to, like, get as much, spread as I can get. And dark is interesting because I just, well, the Pokemon look cool. Like, I'm not into, like, the cutesy Pokemon.
Yeah.
So the dark ones tend to be pretty cool looking. And I also generally like Pokemon that evolve twice that have a third stage. Just in general. Yeah.
Like, a lot of dark types have third stages, I think.
Yeah. And it just happened that Gen 5 had a lot of dark types. And, like, they have that cool, the Scrafty. Do you remember that? He's fighting dark, and he's, like, a...
Yeah.
This guy with this red mohawk. He just, like, and he has, like, his skin is, like, his baggy pants. It's just, like...
Yeah.
And then there's another one that's Steel Dark, which is also really good typing. He was, like, a Power Ranger, basically. So those three are pretty good.
Now, dark's weaknesses, I know fighting is one of them. What's the other weakness?
Bug, which I don't get.
I think that was a type, I think that was a
to
game
make
mechanic
bug more
thing too.
Game, yeah, to make bug more feasible.
Oh yeah, bug is good against psychic and dark.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, they have to balance it, because a lot of bug Pokemon are bad because they're usually the first Pokemon you meet, like Caterpie or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they're usually pretty weak. And so they have to, I don't think they've even done enough, but they try to give them advantages. Like, that's why why Poison is good against Fairy, is because Poison was pretty weak. It didn't have a lot of things it was good against. So they're trying to, like, balance it a little bit as much as they can.
Yeah, because Poison was really only good against, like, grass type.
Which, again, doesn't even make sense, but...
Yeah. And it didn't even... And Poison also doesn't affect steel types at all, so...
Yeah.
Which does make sense.
That does. I understand that and respect that rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I feel like we could have a whole different discussion on, like, Pokemon typing advantages and disadvantages. especially once they started introducing dual combos and having... And then... Yeah. The attributes and all that other jazz. Just real quick before we head on to the other subject, my favorite is fighting type, and I honestly just think it's because I feel like I prefer the kind of the biped Pokemon, and that tends to be more of the fighting type. Like, one of my favorite Pokemon is I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's like the Ultra Libre Hawk dude from I think Black and White.
Howlcha.
Yes.
Howlucha,
yeah.
And even
yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah.
And even up in Sun and Moon, which is really where this question came from, I had a bug Pokemon that evolved into, like, a little boxer dude, and
Lady Anne.
Yeah, evolves into, like, a little boxer butterfly of caterpillar type deal, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just sort of I tend to like the designs of, I mean, some of them are kind of stupid, like Machamp, yeah. Machoke. I like the little guy, and then he gets arms and Hitmonchan, you know, always fun stuff. They have a lot of references for that. And again, I guess I'm a big wrestling fan, so a lot of those fun designs come from there.
Yeah, I mean, meta-wise, it's actually a really good type, because it's pretty much only... It's mainly weak to flying and to dark.
Well, not psychic.
Oh, yeah, and psychic, sorry. But it's good against dark, which a lot of things have dark in them. It seems to be good against a lot. It's good. It's super effective, I think, against ground and steel. Yeah. It's like, it's got some interesting advantages. So
it's good against normal rock, steel, like stuff like that.
Yeah, being good against normal, it's the only thing that's super effective against normal types, which is
that is yeah. What bothered me a little bit was that, yeah, I like the fighting type and everything, but I would always pick the fire starter. That's just my thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't like how for three generations in a row the starter was fire and fighting. And so they give me something different.
Yeah. So that's why, yeah, I haven't used firefighting or fire starter since basically since Charmander, like, but I did on Sun and Moon just because it wasn't firefighting.
Yeah, I liked Blaziken as firefighting, and then
yeah,
Infernape was just like, okay, another firefighting.
Yeah,
and I said, I swear to God, if the next game is firefighting, I'm not gonna buy it. And lo and behold, it was a firefighting pig.
Ah,
and I was like,
that was the
well,
best.
You know, I'm still gonna buy it.
Okay. You stuck to your gun.
Still
there.
Still bought it.
But yes, we're gonna cut this short, even though we're like 5 minutes over. And now let's hit the music. Our main topic, like I said at the end of the show, we've had 6-7 comic book movies come out. We have not talked about any of them. We're going to do it. I'm sure we're going to be respectful, and there's going to be no disagreement at all. So we'll start off. We'll go in order for these. Some will get more time than others. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm sure there's not going to be a ton of stuff for us to say about Ninja Turtles 2.
I still haven't seen it, so...
There you go. So, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, actually.
So Earl can talk about
it. Yeah, I mean, I never really had too much... Like, I knew it was coming out, and I was like, I'm definitely not seeing this in the theater, so I'll wait till it, you know, comes out otherwise. And then...
I want to see it. Like, I've heard it's not horrible, and I love that it's more, like, cartoon-based, because I love the cartoons.
Yeah,
so.
And that's what I would say, is it gives you more of what you wanted from the original, but that's not necessarily a good thing. It's better than the first one, but for some reason, I also feel it's a lot more forgettable.
That does happen. But quick question, how much pizza was in it?
I don't think there is a scene where you have, like, a gigantic wall of Domino's pizza like the first one, but... There is actual pizza. Like one of the first scenes, they drop a slice of pizza on the floor of Madison Square Gardens during the Knicks game, and that was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think there's way too much going on here. Like at some point, spoilers. Like you know, Shredder's in it, Krang's in it, Bebop and Rocksteady are in it, Baxter Stockman is in it. You have the Ninja Turtles. You have Sprinter. Yeah. You have April. You have Vern. You have Casey Jones. There's a lot of characters in here. I don't think the movie has the best handle on giving them equal screen time or stuff to do, and I think that comes to a head, especially when you're leading up to the climax. And they essentially just kind of get rid of Shredder. They really just kind of put him on the bench. So yeah, that's
thanks for playing, Shredder.
Yeah, so that's Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. So the first actual movie we're going to talk about is Deadpool, which came out in February of this year.
I forgot that came out this year. Wow.
That is a good impression.
It's been a good year.
It has been a good year.
So yeah, thoughts on Deadpool.
I loved it. I'm not a huge Deadpool fan. I've never really read the comics, but I like the idea of bringing more comedy into superhero movies. I love the way it plays with meta commentary, like, you know, with Ryan Reynolds and like Green Lantern and the Hugh Jackman stuff. And it's just, and I'm really looking forward to 2. I think I have really high hopes for it, and I think I could be really disappointed. So I hope it's good, but I really like it. I haven't seen it again, so I don't know how it holds up. But on a first watch, I thought it was really good.
And you know, I gotta say, I think I made a mistake with when I viewed Deadpool. I waited about a week to watch it because I could not get my schedule to open up to see it like opening night, and I unfortunately was exposed to like some reviews, mostly from people who I know who saw the movie, people who I, you know, I know them. I don't really respect them as people though. And they told me they loved it. And then I took their word for it. And like, and even some people who, who I do like, they really loved it. And like, I saw it and I still, like, don't get me wrong, still loved the movie, but I was also a little disappointed. I don't know why. Mostly, I think it was because it was overhyped.
Expectations.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that.
My expectations.
We'll get to that a bit with Doctor Strange, where I think I would have enjoyed that more if people weren't telling me it's this amazing, groundbreaking comic book movie. And I feel like Deadpool kind of... I can see how Deadpool can get played up that way and be disappointed in what it actually is.
Yeah, because people were saying that it was hilarious. It was. A lot of the points are hilarious. But certain aspects of it, I felt, were just like the type of humor that I... Not that I don't enjoy, but I don't find as amazingly hilarious as some of my acquaintances with lower IQs.
It's juvenile, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. It does a good job of that. And I'm just going to take a shot in the dark and say you've only seen it once as well.
I've only seen it once. Wow. I thought I saw it twice, but I only saw it once.
So, yes, I guess I have a slightly different opinion because I've seen it twice. And it was kind of what I expected. I really enjoyed it the first time, and I still enjoy it, don't get me wrong. But it's not as good to me the second time around, because once you kind of know the jokes, like, there's not much surprise. It's a very surface-level movie. There's not much else to it. And, like, once you kind of know the setup and punchlines, it's like, oh, that's funny. And there's nothing else to it. And that was kind of my fear when I watched it again. I'm like, I'm going to enjoy this, but I know it's going to go down in my book. I guess we'll do this later on. We'll rank it. But I think this, for me, is kind of the turning point of the movies this year. It's kind of the middle of the road comic book movie for me. And that, like, it's, you know, there's movies better than it, there's movies worse than it. It's just, like, the perfect middle ground for me.
Yeah.
I think it's... Well, we can get to the rankings, but I think it's probably I probably liked it more than both of you.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah. But like I said, I definitely didn't hate it. I liked it.
It'd be hard to dislike it, I think. It had, you know, good action, some really, really fun bits, very careful fourth wall breaking, and just enough of Deadpool where he doesn't get grating. It doesn't go on longer than it needs to.
Yeah, that's true. I do remember it being... It was under 2 hours or something.
Yeah, I think it's like 1:50 or something like that.
Yeah, and I know that if it was like a 2.5-hour Deadpool movie, I probably would have like wanted to just like pass out and die in the theater.
Now, if we want to talk about Deadpool being short, funny, humorous, the next movie is probably the complete opposite of that in every regard. And it's also a lot more divisive. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Here we go. I have a confession. Still haven't seen the whole movie.
Really?
Yes. Mostly, and I gotta say, I guess it's best that I mention this before you guys get into the particulars. It was just too much for me, honestly. At the time, it was just this big thing. People were talking about how much they hated it, and I was like, it can't be that bad. And other people were like, it was so amazing, and I'm like, it can't be that good. And most people said they didn't like it, so there weren't too many people who loved it. But I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna hold off. I'm gonna wait until I can snag a copy of it or find it online somewhere, and then I'll watch it. And that day it never came. Like, after a while,
You should try watching the Ultimate Edition. I really do. I haven't watched it yet, and it wasn't one of my favorite movies this year, but I do want to try to give it another shot with the extended cut.
And I will say this much up front. I think the Ultimate Edition is a really daily way to watch this movie. I was a fan of the the theatrical cut. I still remain a fan of the theatrical cut, but the Ultimate Edition cleans up the movie a lot more. Like, there's still problems with it, and I think that's one of the issues. This is what I don't like about polarization. It's like, you have to hate something or love something. I enjoy Batman v Superman, and anytime I say tell people that, they just mean that must means I think it's a perfect movie to a lot of people. I think it's a very flawed movie. I don't think any of these comic book movies were without their flaws this year. I appreciate its ambition and it being different, and I completely understand why people have issues with it. I am going to be upfront. I said this, one of the reasons I never reviewed the movie for the website was because I went to the world premiere. Like, that is something that you can only experience once. And I'm like, that's going to color my judgment of this movie no matter what. But I remember walking out of it and talking to my friend. And we're like, you know, this movie's good. There's a lot of problems, and I can see, you know, people having issues with it. When we came out, I'm like, okay, I see it getting like a 65 to 75 on Rotten Tomatoes. When reviews started to come out, and it's in the, 28, 27%, I'm like, I honestly do not think this movie is that awful the way people talk about it. I think one of the biggest issues with this movie isn't with the movie. I mean, it is with the movie for people, but it's DC characters are so ingrained in people's minds that it's very hard to deviate from that. Because a lot of the complaints you hear is like, this isn't the Superman I want, this isn't the Batman I want, this isn't the Ex-Luthor I want. And I'm like, I thought they did fascinating things with all of those characters. I thought they were very interesting. I get why people have issues with them, but I've never been one of those people where you have to stick to this canon, you have to stick to this characterization, or it's going to go to hell. But yeah, I'm curious. I know Dan and I have had this discussion before offline, but I'm curious to hear what his thoughts are.
Yeah, I see both sides. I sort of fall in the middle. Like, I don't hate it. I think it does a lot of good things, and that's why I want to see the extended version. But I still don't think they handled Superman the right way. I still don't love the way they handled Batman. Although I think, you know, Ben Affleck's great. I think that was great casting. I think he'll be great going forward. I thought Gal Gadot was great. I didn't love how they did Lex Luthor, but that was a choice they made. It wasn't like it was bad. I just personally would have liked if they went more on the Bryan Cranston route. A personal thing, though.
I get that, and I'm with most people. I actually would prefer, because we've never really gotten the calculating businessman next to the, like, the one you see in, like, Superman the Animated Series and Justice League, or even the one from Millicent Kirk, or kind of what Michael Rosenbaum did with Smallville. We've never got that in movies. We got the really over-the-top and hacky one in Kevin Spacey and Gene Hackman. And then this one's very eccentric.
Yeah.
And I think...
Yeah, I mean, clearly they were going for the...
I think...
Mark Zuckerberg...
Yeah, and
billionaire kind of thing.
And I think that's a problem. Okay, this is how I explain Zack Snyder. Because trust me, there's nothing I hate more in this world than the fact that Man of Steel and Batman v Superman has made me defend Zack Snyder, who I do not think is a great filmmaker. But
see, that's the thing. I like Zack Snyder, though. I really like 300. I really like Watchmen.
I do not like Watchmen.
I think it's a
who
very...
Who watches stable... Watchmen? Sorry, I made myself laugh.
Wow.
But
but that was a very faithful adaptation of the comic book versus Batman vs. Superman, which is very not faithful to the comic books, which is fine. But it's interesting that he went very faithful with Watchmen and then very unfaithful with Superman.
Because with Watchmen, it's a definitive story. There's a beginning, middle, and end. There's no definitive Batman or Superman story. There's nothing to really adapt, especially being that
To be fair, he was clearly pulling from Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, but the problem with the Dark Knight Returns is that is a story that's supposed to end the Batman story. This is technically beginning a universe. And now that's the point I was going to get to. It's like, I think there's a lot of interesting ideas in here. executed very poorly, and I think that causes a lot of problems with people, because ultimately this movie wants to be a Dark Knight Returns adaptation. It wants to adapt the Death of Superman storyline. It wants to introduce Wonder Woman and set the seeds for Justice League, and it's like you're trying to do too many things instead of focusing on any one element and making sure that works properly.
That's definitely a lot of the criticism that I heard, was that what they were trying to do in that one movie, Marvel managed to, what they did was they did that over the course of several movies, lots of movies, and they've been building up towards certain aspects for a while. Like the Iron Man versus Captain America, and you know, we'll discuss that later, but that doesn't come out of the blue, you know.
It kinda does.
It kind of does, but there's always at least been the undertones in previous movies.
I guess we'll get to that, because they're very similar movies. It's just that one tends to have fun with its source material. But that's actually something I had an issue with, and I think I had this discussion before with Age of Ultron, because I thought Age of Ultron was setting up this conflict, but at the end of Age of Ultron, it's like they're on a good page, they both understand each other. And I'm like, why did you introduce this conflict, which you know is going to be in your movie next year, solve it in this movie, and then reintroduce this conflict in the next movie? I mean, it's a different ideology, but it's the same. It's like they had to force it in Civil War, because Civil War feels like a movie that could have been solved so much easier if Iron Man or Captain America were willing to sit down and listen to the other person without being all huffy and gruffy with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about that once. I just wanted to end my personal thoughts on Batman vs Superman, saying that in the early, like the early casting, when I heard that Bryan Cranston was, you know, going to be Lex Luthor, I was very excited, and that when that wasn't the case, I was like, eh.
Okay.
And if Cranston was Lex Luthor, I probably would have seen the movie by now.
Okay, I would just say this much, and it's nothing. I nothing against Bryan Cranston. I'm sure he would have made a fun Lex Luthor, a good one, a different one. I do hate the fan casting, and I don't think this is what you were doing. But I hate the fan casting idea. Like, oh, Bryan Cranston was bald, he can be Lex Luthor. Like, I mean, that's a lot of people's thinking. It's like he was bald as Heisenberg, he can be Lex Luthor. You see this all the time where it's like, oh, this person looks like this person in the comic books. They should be this character. I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, I get people want him because of Heisenberg, but it's mostly because he's bald.
Yeah, there was the...
He's an Emmy Award-winning actor, though, also,
yeah, but,
you know?
But, I mean, that hasn't really translated to much in movies yet.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, he's going to be Zordon next. I mean...
Sure.
And I'm not saying that's any side against Zordon. I'm just saying, like, winning awards doesn't mean anything. I mean, like, you know, you mentioned Batman v Superman. Ben Affleck is an Academy Award winner, and that movie turned out how it turned out for a lot of people. The writer of the movie is an Academy Award winning writer.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you can, and we'll get to this later on, but you look at stuff like Doctor Strange. You can waste talented actors and actresses in major roles. Like I said, Batman v Superman is a very divisive film. I will say this much about Zack Snyder. Man is still Batman v Superman. He makes superhero movies that people keep on talking about, for better or worse. You never come out of a
that
movie.
Is true.
You never come out of a movie like, that was good. And like, I like Marvel films, but like, you look at Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is just in a month old, I guess. Just a month old as this recording, and nobody really talks about it right now.
Haven't even seen it yet.
Okay, to be fair, though, and I see your point, but they're in danger of souring the entire DC universe.
Oh, and I don't disagree with you on that.
Plus, money-wise, I mean, I know business isn't the most important thing, but Doctor Strange is the best performing first movie in a you know, of the first movies in a...
It's a very complicated, super narrow... It's the best performing solo origin film in the MCU, which is
well,
a...
It did, so it, It did better than Iron Man. It did better than Captain America.
But those are building up. Those were building this. This is kind of riding the wave of the MCU just becoming a major thing now. Like I would, the actual comparisons would be like Ant-Man. It did better than Ant-Man, which is a better comparison.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it does better than Black Panther. And I wouldn't be surprised if it does better than. I mean, I don't know, but I just it.
I'm not taking anything against Doctor Strange. I'm just saying that you can. Let's go to Civil War. We get to Doctor Strange and we get to Doctor Strange. Okay, Captain America All Civil right. War came out in May. We kind of already touched on my major beef with it. It feels like two very different movies to me. There's the stuff that bookends it with Iron Man and Captain America kind of being at odds. And then there's a middle part, which is an Avengers movie. That middle portion is amazing. The stuff around it, not so much.
I will agree with you on that, actually. I have a bit of a better opinion. Not a better opinion. I mean, a more favorable opinion, I should say that.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I really like Civil War. Civil War is a good movie. It just feels like two very distinct movies, and they're not equal in quality.
And I definitely do see where you're coming from. I really enjoyed the middle portion. I did enjoy, like, especially the fight. Like, once Spider-Man was introduced. Oh, Spider-Man's introduced, all that.
Did you not like the Spider-Man part?
That is the middle portion of the movie.
Yeah, but you said you didn't like the... Did you say you didn't like the middle part?
No, I said I like the middle part. The middle part's awesome. It's the bookends that isn't. Like, the forced conflict, now we're concerned about the property damage we've been doing for, like, 10 movies. And Iron Man feels guilty because this random woman comes up to him.
I think as a movie of its, in itself, away from the universe, it's, amazing. I think it has problems when you start to think about it in terms of all the other movies.
I think Marvel's been having that problem off and on, trying to try to make a movie that's good standalone, but then also actually kind of make sense in the story. Sometimes they do it better than other movies, like, and some movies are obviously they're great standalone, and they make sense in the grand scheme of things, but they're better. They're like great standalone movies. Like, I'll always fall back on Winter Soldier being one of my not only favorite Marvel movies, but also one of my favorite movies of something that I've seen as an adult and can give, like, something that's not ingrained in my being like something like Star Wars would be. I think that Civil War is a good movie on its own, but I feel like a lot of it is lost if you haven't seen some of the other movies, or at least have some sort of knowledge.
That's gonna happen, and even if you take the wave of the MCU, it is technically the third Captain America movie, so it has its own little internal narrative building on it. Even though I hate when people call it a trilogy, because it is a very terrible trilogy. You cannot watch Captain America, The First Avenger, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Captain America, Civil War, and get and understand those movies completely with those three. But even, like, I was Team Iron Man because on paper they're a much better team. They're much more powerful. But, like, watching the movie, like, neither side has any internal logic that makes any sense. Like, Iron Man's all upset Iron Man's like, we should be held responsible for this stuff. I'm like, you're the cause for most of this stuff. You were the one who created Ultron in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
He was the one who created the Helicarriers in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it's not like, at least in the comics, like at least in the comic Civil War, what was the actual cause of what fueled the fire for that wasn't actually, like, directly related to something he did. That's what happened in Civil War.
I mean, basically the problem is, for me, is that it's based off of poor source material. I think Civil War is one of the worst events. I don't really like when superheroes fight each other, and it's interesting that they did Batman vs. Superman and Civil War within like a month of each other.
See,
but
the major difference is I go with them fighting for the first time. I do not get them fighting when they've been friends for, you know, in movie terms for years. Because, like, with Batman versus Superman, it's Batman being stubborn, really. Because Superman's not trying to fight him. In Civil War, it's just Captain America and Iron Man both being stubborn. Like, Bucky's my friend. I'm going to do anything to protect Bucky. You know, I'm not even going to try to sit down and talk to anybody. I'm just going to protect Bucky. Bucky, 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 Bucky. And Iron Man's all like, we need to do better.
To be fair, there's also the aspect of registration and the idea of masks and stuff that they don't really go into as much in the movie, and it's more about in the comic. But, I mean, that has been, you don't want to bring it up, but in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the idea of having to register and having to, tell your secret identity to the government, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, see, that doesn't work as well in the actual movie because nobody has a secret identity.
Right. Yeah, that
Spider-Man's basically the only
but
one.
Spider-Man's introduced during the movie.
Right.
Yeah,
Sometimes
I almost feel like introducing Spider-Man in Civil War was kind of a waste in some ways. I do like that he was introduced, I do like his addition to the movie, but I also feel like this movie was. It was too many characters' first movies in something like this.
I also
had that problem with Age of Ultron, actually.
It was, it's not even, I agree with you, but I think part one, because his introduction is such a momentum stopper, because it's so divorced from the narrative of the movie. It's like, okay, we're going to take this to introduce Spider-Man, and we're going to have Iron Man, who's dealing with a very serious plot, his best friend, one of his best friends or whatever, and he's going to spend time flirting with this guy's aunt and joking around. I'm like, I get it, and I get why it's cute for a lot of people, but it's such a momentum killer. But like him being in that fight is amazing, and he adds a certain level of verity that really is fun. But again, when the movie's done with him, it's so unceremonious. You say, go home, okay.
And you can even, like, tell that the parts of the movie that, needed to be, rewritten. Because that, once Sony and Marvel struck that deal, you can tell. Like, I can tell the parts of the movie that they didn't touch at all, basically, after the Sony deal. It's like Spider-Man doesn't exist. Like, we're not going to acknowledge this freak who can shoot webs and is, like, extreme, like, more powerful than Captain America, like, strength-wise. And, like, we're just not going to acknowledge him anymore. Or, I could just see, like, those moments that, like, he wasn't a factor at all.
But,
and like I said, I do like that. Like, ultimately, when I weigh the pros and cons, I like how he was an addition to the movie, and I like what his role was. But I feel like they could have done a better job introducing him somewhere else. Ultimately,
yeah, I feel like because he does a good job in that scene. I was gonna say, ultimately, I do think what happens is just because he's in that scene, and it's a very busy scene. Because even aside from him, like Ant-Man, who has his own movie, though, is really introduced for that scene as well, and really not much else. But it's like, I don't want to sound negative because I really enjoyed that movie, and that fight is like probably one of the best comic book fights in film.
I'm tempted to agree.
So yeah. So
I just think.
Go on.
Yeah, I'm torn because I think the movie would have been less enjoyable. I see your points, and I think it's definitely was not the plan going into it, but it would have made the movie, less enjoyable to me without it. But maybe that's because the movie doesn't hold up as much. Like, it's awesome to see all these, people that we've been following, which is one of my problems with Batman vs. Superman that we've gone into before, is just the fact that they didn't set up Ben Affleck at all. It's like, it's interesting to see people you've seen in multiple movies fight against each other versus someone who's brand new.
Right. I completely agree, actually. I think that it would not have been, like, if we were to take the scenes that had Spider-Man in, like, the fight scene with Spider-Man in them and removed him and didn't, like, replace him with another character or replace him with a, you know, a different character, I feel like it would have been worse. I'm not saying that he's a poor addition to the movie at all. I think that he makes the movie better. But I also, that doesn't mean that I don't think that he might have been better off being introduced somewhere else, in some other way.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like it was a plus, like, let's say it was like a plus 5 for that movie, but I feel like it could have been a plus 50 in some other way. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Or?
I mean, it's
not going to go that high, but yeah.
Like, you know what I mean. Like, yeah. I mean, like a plus 15.
He doesn't take away from the movie, but he could have been better introduced elsewhere for more efficient.
He would have added more.
Yeah.
I mean, if Iron Man 3 came out last year and that scene was in Iron Man 3, you know,
that's what people assume. It's like that it'll kid from Iron Man 3, who I assume we're never going to see again. Like in hindsight, that would have been a great way to introduce Peter Parker, and get him on Iron Man's team right away. So yeah, there's that. Okay, moving on because we have time. To a comic book movie that I pretty much forgot, X-Men Apocalypse also came out in May.
And, oh yeah.
Honestly speaking, the only scene I can really remember in that movie is the scene that is so far removed from the narrative that if you took it out, the movie would not change. But it's the best scene in the movie, and that's the Wolverine escape. Oh, spoilers.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah.
I think assuming...
So you just spoiled that he was captured and then escaped.
Well, no, he was captured at the end of Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah,
so that's not a spoiler. But the spoiler is that there is a breakout scene with him, which is also really creepy because he gets calmed down by like a 16-year-old Jean Grey. whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. One, I thought it was a careful idea at first, but the fact that they do these movies every decade is really kind of weird because the actors do not age fast enough. So the fact that a lot of people look the same that they did 20 years ago is really disturbing. I know.
Okay. I have feelings about this one. I love the cartoon, right? I love the time, you know, the time throwback aspect to it. Any kind of movie where it's not set in the present, like I just love that. And so setting in the 80s was really cool. I didn't really have a problem with any of the casting, except for, I didn't love Apocalypse. I love Oscar Isaacs, but the costume...
That was him.
Yeah, that was just a horrible idea. They should have just gone CG with it. He just didn't look... He looked like a Power Rangers villain, which is not an original.
I know, everybody says he has a Kevin Ooze.
He just did not look good for a $200 million movie, you know? Like, that's just not...
I also think the problem, well, I mean, it's more of a problem with him, is Apocalypse's powers are so ill-defined. Like, he controls
the comics,
sand?
In the comics, they're not that undefined. In the movie, they made it out like he jumps bodies and gains powers every time, which is not, you know, has nothing to do with his original story. Like, his main thing is being able to... He can, you know, change his size, really. That's his main power. So he would get big, or he could, like, basically be the Terminator from T2, you know, like, form, you know, change his body into different, like, shapeshifter things. That was really his only power. And, like, he was just super, he had power in the sense that he had followers and he had the Four Horsemen and stuff.
Yeah,
so I think they made a mistake trying to, like, give him... Like, that's the whole point of him having his horsemen, is that, help, you know, that's why he has more power, not because of himself, but,
yeah. It was really weird, and then it was like, we have to introduce a bunch of characters, and then it's like, again, kind of going back to Civil War. There's so many characters, like a lot of them don't get anything to do. I'm almost certain that Sayak has like two words in this movie. Jubilee disappears halfway through the film.
I mean, they had a lot of characters that they tried to fit into it, and it probably didn't, because they had all the first class, they have all the newer characters. Jennifer Lawrence did not need to be in that movie. Like, Beast did not need to be in that movie, really. But there was like the three picture contract, and there's all these technical issues, but as a movie, Mystique did not need to be in that.
No, especially being that they were so. Like, I understand it's Jennifer Lawrence and you want people to know it's Jennifer Lawrence, but she spends so much time as Jennifer Lawrence and somehow she becomes the leader of the X-Men. And I'm like, this is just so stupid.
Honestly, I don't have. I haven't said much about X-Men Apocalypse. I really, like Earl said, it was just like the only scene you remember is the Wolverine escape scene. I really, it didn't leave much of an impact on me. So, yeah, and I
I mean, it was
never watched it
largely,
completely sober either. So there's that.
it wasn't bad, but it was just largely forgettable, I think, is
Yeah, and
where
I
it
feel
comes
like in
from.
a lot of ways that makes a movie not worse. Obviously, it makes it worse for the movie that it's not even bad, you know?
It's like I said, it's
Like these bad
forgettable,
movies are bad,
which is I think forgettable is a worse crime than being bad, because it's bad I remember stuff. And this is a terrible segue, but speaking of bad, the next movie was Suicide Squad, and I mean bad in both sense, because it stars bad guys, it stars villains, but it was also a bad movie. And
I think I probably liked it the more than you, Earl. I don't know. Because
probably.
I really liked it. Like, I love, Margot Robbie.
See,
I
here's the weird thing with me is I enjoyed almost all of their performances in the movie. I like Margot Robbie, I like Will Smith as Deadshot, I like Jake Courtney as Boomerang, I like Viola Davis as Amanda Waller,
See,
like El Diablo, J. Hernandez as J. El Diablo, they work for me. It's just like nothing else in that movie works for me.
that
I
that's
don't know. I
that
liked
that's
the was it did you not like the soundtrack, like it being a lot of,
I didn't
because I
I like the soundtrack outside of the movie, like the music they released. That was awesome. I got out of those songs.
yeah.
But like the things they were doing to introduce the, and I like how they introduced the character. I like the visual style, and I was so disappointed when that just disappeared after like 20 minutes. I'm like, why not? Why don't we use this throughout the movie? But like everybody had these songs, and I felt it was so weird. Okay. Really quick mini rant about Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad to me feels like a very oddly made movie. It feels like a very long prologue where you spend about half an hour introducing the characters multiple times. You start off by introducing Will Smith, Deadshot, and Harley Quinn, and at the penitentiary. Then you go to Amanda Waller, who's having dinner, and she's introducing the characters again. Then you go back and you introduce these characters as we're getting them ready. So you have Harley Quinn fighting the guards, and you have Will Smith shooting the targets and stuff like that. And after we're done with these multiple introductions of these characters, they get a mission, and then the mission is literally the rest of the movie. There's no like change to that. There's no like, okay, this is, we rise. Okay, we hit that point, now we're gonna climax. It's like, no, it's pretty much one mission until they get to the trenches, and that's it. The movie ends, and I'm like, that's not a movie. It's a prologue and a second act with no proper first act and no third act. And
Yeah, that's a lot of my criticism for it too. Was I didn't like I think that you summed it up pretty good saying that it's like a lot of like introductions, and I mean that's what's gonna happen in like a movie like this where it's a lot of characters who a lot of, you know, a lot of people don't know who a lot of these DC villains are. They just don't. And
that's fine. I mean,
yeah, that's totally fine.
It's an ensemble, okay. But you had a focus. It was Harley Quinn, it's Deadshot, and it's Amanda Waller. Those are your focus, and everything else is just kind of side dressing. You don't, like, I mean, look how much time they gave Rope Guy. I mean, Shipknot. He gets no time, and that's fine, because he's a red shirt. Somebody has to die to prove that they're the Suicide Squad.
This is true.
I guess my thing is that, I guess this is just my issue with the DC Universe in general, and, you know, or in this cinematic universe, and, you know, I think you pretty much come down one way or another, but I feel like if they had one Batman movie before Batman v Superman, where you have Joker, you have the new Joker, you have Ben Affleck, you have Harley Quinn, introduce them, show her getting captured, that would lead into Batman v Superman, that would lead into Suicide Squad. I just think they tried to do too much too quickly, and it hurt both movies trying to set all this stuff up and introduce all these things when there's stuff that's already been introduced, it helps the pacing.
I disagree with that a big amount. It's something I said in the lead up to Batman v Superman, and it's something I still hold true, because it ignores literally decades of filmmaking. Like, most, like, you don't need a Star Wars film setting up Darth Vader and the Rebel Alliance and the Empire or anything like that. You don't need that. You get a movie, you have, you know, it introduces a ton of characters, it introduces a conflict, and you do that fine in one movie. Lord of the Rings, same thing. You introduce all these different fractions and characters and missions, and it works. I don't think you need that. I think people like us tend to say that because we're like, oh, you know, there's so much to Batman. You could do this, you can do that. Like, Suicide Squad's problem isn't that it didn't have a movie beforehand. Suicide Squad, my problem with Suicide Squad is, like, they introduce the characters too many times. Like, you don't need to introduce Harley Quinn three different times. I got it. I know who she is. She's crazy. You repeat it constantly throughout the film. The same thing with Deadshot. He can shoot well. That's not the film's problem. The film's problem isn't that by the end of it, I like most of the characters. That's not the film's problem. That might be the film's problem, because at the end of the day, I shouldn't like most of these characters. They're supposed to be awful people, and the film never wants them to be awful people or makes you think that they're awful people. Like,
well, that's why, and I agree with you, but I think that if you had a movie showing them being awful, because the whole idea of Suicide Squad, right, is these are villains from comics you've read that are doing good things only because they will literally, they're expendable, and they have a bomb in their head that will kill them. And they sort of get that, but I just think that if you have them doing more things, if you had a background showing them doing more horrible things, it would help you in that turn when you, like, start rooting for them, and you're like, why am I rooting for them? But because they've done all these horrible things, but, like, you can't help it. Like, do you know what I mean?
I feel like that, I mean, okay, I've seen the extended cut of this movie. The extended cut of this movie does not help it as much as it helps Batman v Superman. But one of the scenes they added, or one of the scenes they extend out, is in the, like, in the actual movie, like, you know, Shipknot tries to escape and he gets his head blown off. They kind of extend that out, and you see them plotting to, like, because you, like, one of the things you wonder is, like, why do they go along with this? And you do see them actually planning to kind of take out, what is his name? Rick Flag, and just bounce. And you see that, and that's when they get attacked by those creatures. And that adds something to, I think what the extended edition adds that I do enjoy, it adds more character moments, and I do think that's missing. Because I said it time and time again after I've seen this movie. My favorite scene in this movie is the scene in the bar, because, one, they get to act like normal people, but it's also a moment where they get to be characters, where there's not a lot of time for any of them to be characters. And you watch the extended edition, and a lot of the stuff that is cut is them interacting with each other, and it adds a lot more to the movie. It does not save it, because ultimately, I think the best way somebody put this to me, and this is the way I've always thought about it, is, like, this is what happens if you try to make an MCU movie incompetently. Like, it's a Marvel film. It has a very generic villain. Sorry, that's what Marvel does. It has that whole,
yeah, it does that.
It has that very, you know, it literally has the, what they call the William Ring of Garbage. You know, like the light beam up in the sky, which is a plot from a lot of, it's a plot for most comic book movies, because you need to give the audience a ticking time bomb that they understand. It's like, we can't have them open up that breach or that portal or whatever. I mean, it's literally the plot of the Avengers as well. Avengers, I think Fantastic Four does it. A lot of movies just do the beam in the sky.
Right.
But yeah, it's like, there's no... Okay, how I would have fixed the Suicide Squad movie is simple. Is that... they go on a mission with Enchantress, and they set the bomb, and then she turns on the team, and then they're up a creek without a paddle, and then they have to kind of fight their way out, and then they decide to go back and destroy her. Because the way they set it up, it's like Amanda Waller's mistake, which you don't find out until like the climax of the film, because ultimately Amanda Waller is the bad guy of this film. But they don't push it enough until it's too late, and by that time I was checked out.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, I think there's a lot of arguments you can make about how the trailers set up unrealistic expectations. I mean, the trailers were just really, really well done. How they start, you know, there's rumors about how they recut, the trailer company recut the movie, and the director didn't get final cut, and there's all this stuff, right? And how, like, WB wasn't even confident in the movie and put it out anyway?
Well, I think they were confident in the movie. I think, I mean, you'd focus test these things, but I do think, and this is going to a point you made earlier, is, you know, you mentioned, like, the money with Batman v Superman. Ultimately, the problem with that, with Batman v Superman, is, like, everything they're doing is a reaction to what they've done before. So, like, I assume Suicide Squad got messed with because of the reactions to Batman v Superman. Like, you look at the stuff that was cut, and a lot of the stuff that was, you know, kind of shown in trailers, it seemed to imply a much, much more abusive relationship between the Joker and Harley Quinn that they toned down a ton to not make the movie as dark. They added the pop music to kind of give it that fun, catchy feel that the trailers were presenting. And it feels very disjointed, and you can tell at times. But ultimately, even if there's another cut of this movie, there's still so much kind of that couldn't be fixed. And the thing is, I'm intrigued by a sequel to Suicide Squad, because I think there's a lot of great pieces here. Like I said, I enjoy almost everybody in their role. But the movie's plot and pacing, basic structure doesn't work for me. And that's really where I'm left off at.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I do think that they probably messed with it too much. They should have. I think that, you know, something that they may look back on is wanting to. They should have given David Ayer more freedom to just tell the story he wanted to tell. And if it was going to be really dark, then it was going to be really dark. I mean.
And I don't
commercial-wise, though, it's hard to argue with them because they made a lot of money.
I mean, commercial-wise, I mean, it is probably... I mean, it is one of the highest-grossing comic book films of all time. And when you think about recent years, it's also impressive the fact that it did it without China. I think it's going to be the third highest-grossing film, the third highest-grossing comic book film of the year, and it does it without China, where everybody else had China. I think without China, I think it's just beneath Batman versus Superman. And I think, yeah, it's also right behind Deadpool. And Deadpool didn't have China either, but it's right up there. So, yeah, I guess the final one to talk about is Doctor Strange. And I'm just going to kick this off because I mentioned this earlier. This was a case of managing expectations. I did not really expect much from Doctor Strange. I'm not a fan of the character, really. So I see all these movies just because I'm a fan of comic books, but I'm not a huge fan of Doctor Strange. And spoilers, I'm not a huge fan of Captain Marvel either, so I'll probably do the same spiel in like 2 years. But people I know and people who I respect and like came back and everybody's just come. This is amazing. Like this is like unlike any other origin movie I've ever seen. This makes Inception like child's play. Like I've already heard stuff. Like, some of this was gaff. Some of this was people I know. So I'm like, oh, I'm like, I gotta see this movie now because I'm expecting to be blown away. I'm expecting Inception on a whole new level. I'm expecting an origin film unlike anything we've ever seen before. And I get in there, I'm like, this is an origin film. I mean, like, this is Iron Man. This is, I mean, it's not as good as Batman Begins, so I'm not even going to touch that one. And the visuals, I thought, were interesting in the scenes that they were focused on. Like, the first time he goes through the different dimensions, and like some of the fight sequences, but it's like two or three scenes. It's not the entire movie. And I was just like, that's it. I mean, this is what you people are hyping up. Like, it's a good movie. And I think if I went in with those expectations, I would have been pleased with it. But I went in with these expectations that I was going to be blown away by this visual delight, this film that was going to be trippy and exotic and fresh and new. And it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think it had really good effects. I think, you know, I really liked Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, I think it's a good movie. I don't think it's amazing. I think it got overhyped a little bit. But, I mean, I don't think it's a bad movie either. You know, it's I think it just had a – I think it's an expectations thing for that movie also, which is funny because it – they almost come all the movies we talked about have basically
they have expectations issues.
Yeah, like Deadpool, Civil War, Batman vs Superman. They're comic book movies at this point, it's very hard not to have some sort of expectations, whether good or bad, going into it.
Yeah.
And it sort of totally affects how it
yeah, but I see, I guess for me is I can ignore, this is a super first world problem. It's one of the reasons I personally prefer seeing a movie in its advanced screening, is because I don't get any of that feedback ahead of time. It's just me and my thoughts. So I saw Deadpool, I saw Batman v Superman earlier, I saw Captain America like the first night, I saw X-Men, you know, within, like, so X-Men was kind of one of those, because it had early reviews and stuff like that. Suicide Squad and Doctor Strange I saw after the fact, so some of that was already in my head. But Doctor Strange, because like with Suicide Squad, it's like, you know, a lot of people came back, this movie isn't that good, so that tempers your expectations. So that tends to be a good thing because it can throw you away. With Doctor Strange, where people were building it up, and I think it holds like a 90 on Rotten Tomatoes, which doesn't help. And I was just expecting this amazing, mind-blowing movie, and it was not that. But if, like I said, if I had gone in with my initial expectations, I'm not a huge fan of Doctor Strange, I'm just kind of seeing this because I see all these movies, I think I would have had a really good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, even that aside, it still falls into the same problems I have with a lot of Marvel films, and that the villain's very underdeveloped.
Yeah.
And a major spoiler, right? I do not get this heel turn at the end at all. I mean, I get that he's a bad guy, but like that post-credit sequence, I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just, he's a bad guy in the comics, so he was going to be a bad guy. Like,
I get that, but like, nothing in the movie made it seem that he was going to turn that way.
I mean, you could say that he was jealous of how quickly Doctor Strange
but even that,
was
I don't
better think, than him or something.
I don't even feel like it came off that way.
Yeah. No, I think they could have done a better job.
Like,
and
honestly,
I think
at the end of the movie, I thought he was retiring from magic.
Yeah, and I think Rachel McAdams was basically wasted. She, like, I've heard this argument before, but she basically spends the whole movie just fixing him up. Like, it's just, she really does nothing in it. And
she's wasted, and Mads is wasted.
Yeah.
And I mean, I come in
and
a role,
personally,
but
for me, the comedy didn't really hit at all.
I
don't know
like,
about you.
I feel like Marvel has a very particular style of comedy, and I think some people get it better than others. Like
Well, okay.
Go on.
Well, just for me, Guardians of the Galaxy is my favorite Marvel movie. It will be my favorite Marvel movie. I don't see even Guardians of the Galaxy 2 beating it. And it's probably the funniest Marvel movie. So they can do comedy. It's just, I think trying to do comedy in Doctor Strange was kind of a bad idea. Like, Cumberbatch isn't really a great comedic actor, and the character's not known for that. Like, I wish they would have gone a little more in the horror sort of, because the Scott Derrickson is a horror director.
Yeah, and that's what people thought, and there's really no horror aspect to it. And yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's like they keep trying to recreate Iron Man. Like, Ant-Man's a humor-based movie. This is a humor-based movie. Guardians is a humor-based movie. The only person who really doesn't copy that mold is Captain America, which makes sense for what ultimately ended up happening with Civil War. But yeah, this whole kind of, like, snarky, narcissistic character who, you know, through some third party, overcomes that and unlocks great abilities to become a hero is kind of the Marvel mold for a origin film. And I feel the only joke that really kind of ended on with me was when he was telling him about Beyonce, and in the next scene you hear him listening to Beyonce.
I just didn't like the whole, like... I think having comedy in movies is not a bad idea. I just think coming from Doctor Strange is a bad idea. Like, having comedy that would... where he is the straight man, I think would have worked fine, and I... You know,
you can never have the main character be outside in these movies, but even then it would be weird coming from like the Ancient One, or to be coming from any of the characters really, because again it's like, I guess it's different from my perspective, because I'm like, you're dealing with magic, which they don't really call magic, and it's like you're learning about this. It's like you're in an intense internship. And it's weird for it to be humor-based. Like, it's weird for it to have jokes to break it up, but that's kind of what you need, because you want to undercut the tension and stuff like that.
Well, it's because they want it to be a four-quadrant movie, and it's like... that. I sometimes brush up against that. It's like, just, you know, you guys are so successful. Just try to do something original with each one. Don't try to... I think that's what people...
You don't want to shake the tree if it makes you money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's Doctor Strange. So, real quick, before we wrap up, because we're way past the hour mark, let's recap. Deadpool, Batman v Superman, Captain America Civil War, X-Men Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Out of the Shadows, Suicide Squad, Doctor Strange. How do you rank these 7 comic book movies? Or let's just do top 3.
Okay, I'll start. I'll say that my favorite comic book movie from this year would be Captain America Civil War. A lot of that is admittedly where I haven't seen some of these movies, like Batman v Superman, or, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, though I don't know where those will rank on your guys, but I'm also biased because Captain America. Second, I'd probably say Deadpool, because it, you know, did a lot of things different, and I enjoyed it. And oh my god, I'm drawing a blank. What are they again? What are the movies?
The ones you have after X-Men, Suicide Squad, Doctor Strange.
It's hard. I actually haven't seen Doctor Strange, so I tuned out what you guys were talking about because I didn't want you guys to spoil me. I also didn't want to be rude.
You have Suicide Squad and X-Men as your number 3.
Yeah, I don't know. You flip a coin, I'll say Suicide Squad.
Okay.
So I would say Civil War number 1. Deadpool number 2 and Suicide Squad number 3 for Harley Quinn and the scene with the Flash.
So you folks have the same order, okay? Yeah. I'm going to break it down just a bit awkwardly. My number 1 would be Batman versus Superman the Ultimate Edition. Number 2 would be Captain America Civil War. And Batman v Superman theatrical cut. I actually do think they're equal. I think the Ultimate Edition pushes it forward. And number three would be Deadpool.
Okay. So we all ranked Civil War and Deadpool
Yeah, I think
in our top three.
those are the safest choices. I was surprised, especially with Dan, that Doctor Strange wasn't higher on his list. I would have, I mean, I don't like Suicide Squad. I would have put Doctor Strange above Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I liked it. I just thought it was a little overhyped, and I thought it was a little forgettable.
Okay.
But yeah,
Yeah.
I
And
mean,
it
it would be
definitely
fourth
does
for
recycle,
sure.
like you guys were. Like, I did hear, I was paying attention when you guys were talking about the Marvel, like how they, like all the origin stories, and it's like copy paste with everything. So I can see why you would think it's forgettable, because, it's just like changing the characters,
So that will do it for the main subject. Just real quick, for my recommendation for this show, there is a show on BBC America called Dirk Gently Holistic Detective, which is actually really kind of funny and unique and quirky. I forget who the main character is, but the secondary character is Elijah Wood, which I've always been fascinated by. Like, he just seems to have stopped wanting to do movies. And he does these little odd, awkward TV shows. Like, before this, he was on Wilford.
Yeah, he'll just randomly appear,
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he got typecast or he just doesn't want to do major blockbusters anymore. But he hasn't really done. Like, the only thing he's done outside of Lord of the Rings that I can think of is Sin City. And even then, he played in a very awkward character.
No, he was in Spy Kids.
Was Spy Kids? I thought Spy Kids.
The one where they go into the video game.
I have seen the first Spy Kids. I think that's about it. So anything else is.
Don't need to see the other ones, but you can take my word for it that he's
But
in the one where they go to the theater.
they're all the Spy Kids movies are so weird. Because isn't George Clooney in them as well?
I don't know.
But yes, it's a very fun show. Check it out. I think it's a British show, so I think it's only like 6 or 8 episodes. But yeah, it's really fun. It's about a holistic detective, which means that you're a detective who investigates stuff, but not by finding clues or interviewing people, but just kind of going by your gut and just seeing how things are connected. So it's just kind of like this weird hijinks type TV show where they just go from like one thing to another, and there's no rhyme or reason, and then somehow at the end it all comes together. So it's really fun. It's quirky. It's different. It's very short. A lot of TV shows are going on break soon, so you got time to kill during this winter recess. Is
Cool.
there anything
Check
you
it out.
is there anything you two gentlemen want to say before we wrap up?
No, not no, really. I can't think of anything.
My only thing is that dark is super effective against ghosts, so I win.
No. You're
Okay.
right.
Affected. Super affected.
Super
But
effective. Super effectiving.
So yes, you can usually find us at Twitter at Nerds on the Rocks, Facebook Nerds on the Rocks. I would say Google Plus, but honestly, who uses that? You can find us at nerdsontherocks.com, where we post this podcast along with a ton of other great content. You can find me at Twitter at ER_NOTR, which I am going to change in the new year. You can find Dan at Gazelle, GAZELE 87. And you can find Scott at Scott_at_night.
Which I may change
To
to
simplify that.
take out the underscores.
Yes, that would be so handy. It sounds like
No,
an email,
you're right.
scott@night.com.
You know what? You're right. And it's taken me a while to realize that, but I just think it looks cool with the underscores.
I would say the other thing, and this is a minor complaint, is that it adds extra characters, and characters is such a commodity on Twitter that anything you can do to
That's
shorten it
true.
is always handy. But yeah, we you'll We will catch you. We will catch you next time for another amazingly average show.